Hebrews 12. I'll catch up with you in a minute, Lord willing. I have looked at this thought of seven ways to find God. I did not get them all dealt with last week, and I felt like the Lord put my heart back into the direction of maybe continuing that thought. Seven ways to find God. We ought to have a desire for Him. We ought to see our need for Him if we do not desire Him. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, the Bible says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him if thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Says several things. We need to seek Him because we need Him. And if we, is another big word, one of those big little words. If we will, we will find Him. If we seek for Him with all of our heart and with all of our soul. I have looked at the fact that we find God if we look for Him where He is. If you're looking for me, you'll do a whole lot better finding me if you look at the place I'm at. I heard about the story where they lost something out in the yard and somebody's over there under the street light looking for it, and they say, "We didn't lose it over there yet, but there's more light over here. I can see better." Well, you got to look where you lost it, where He's at. I have looked at the fact that you'll find Him when you go to the church. I believe with all my heart God comes to church. He's a faithful member. You'll get some help if you come looking for Him and not anything else. And also, you'll find Him if you go not only to the church, but to the closet. Jesus said, go and shut the door and pray to the Father. Suggests He's in there. And then you'll find God if you go to the canon of Scripture, the Word of God. He's in there. And then I said, you'll find God if you go to the coffin. At the last days and moments of our lives as believers, we'll find Him. Jesus saw Him standing, welcoming Him home. This will sound peculiar to begin with. I want to mention number five of our seven ways to find God. You'll find Him when you go to the corner. Some of you know about this. When you misbehave as a child, your mom or dad puts you in the corner. I have seen more corners, more walls closed in than I want to admit. And the day that we're living in, the thing of discipline has gone haywire, but God still disciplines His people. And I am not suggesting for a second this morning that we sin, but I am saying when we do, and we will, find Him in the corner where He puts us. There's something about this thing of chastisement, of being chastened to the Lord. It hurts tremendously, but I'll tell you one thing, it's good. It is a good thing. I have to say, every trip I took to the corner, I'm not sure I enjoyed it, and I ain't sure I learned much from it. But I know this, I needed it. I want you to read with me in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 6. Notice what the Bible says. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, sounds like you going to experience sooner or later, God's going to put us in the corner. God dealing with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Several things in these verses I'll try and mention this morning. I want to remind you what we're talking about. We're talking about seeking God, finding Him, realizing our need of Him, having a hunger for Him, a thirst for Him. The Bible says in Psalm 63, verse 1, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. Psalm 84, verse 2, My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. The little lady in the Song of Solomon says, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. When she finally came to the point to where she recognized she needed to get up and seek her beloved, he was gone. That tells me we cannot seek him whenever we want to. We got to do it when he's moving. I mentioned this morning that you'll find him when you go to the corner, that place where he sends us to discipline. It says in verse 5, despise not the chastening of the Lord. That word despise has the idea of little regard. In other words, it means to take lightly. I say this morning what that verse says, when he sticks us in the corner, we better not take it lightly. I see the picture of Dennis the Menace sitting in the corner. He, like I, don't know if he learned a lot. But we need to recognize when God sends us to the corner, he's trying to help us. He loves us. Going to mention verse, the promise of chastisement. Verse 6 says, he scourgeth every son. He has promised us, you misbehave, I'm not going to ignore it. Our TVs have reminded us lately more than we care to be reminded that the schools of today are pampering children, even adult children. And they are ruining the lives of these children, teaching them you can do as you please and get by, no consequences. That ain't our God. He has promised. And I'm glad that he has. I rejoice in all this. This does not disturb me. This does not discourage me. This is encouraging this morning. I'm glad I've got a God that'll send me to the corner when I need it. Not let me go on. It's a promise. He said, I will stick you in the corner where you can look. That blank wall reminds you did something wrong. I will stick you in the corner where you not only will look, but you will listen. Maybe next time you'll listen to your daddy and mama. You'll hear that word where he said, oh, don't do it, don't do it, but you did it. It'll help you. He sticks us in the corner where we can look and listen and hopefully learn. He has promised us. He says, don't despise it. Don't take it lightly. There's a promise. We should expect God to discipline us. We expect him to do it to those sinners out there. We talk about it every once in a while, about how sinners deserve to be judged, and rightfully so. But we need to recognize not only will God deal with them and handle their sin, he comes into the church and deals with his people. In fact, he does that first. And if that bunch out there deserve it, how much more do we? Who have experienced his grace, who have been saved by his mercy, who have received his good things, who have been provided for and protected, and now we go our own way and live our own way and do as we please and disobey him in some way. I tell you this morning, we deserve it. And he promises, I'm not going to let you get by. I rejoice in that. I'm glad for that. After all, when we walk our own way and do as we please, we deserve what we get. There's a promise of chastening. There's a promise of the corner. Not only the promise of chastisement, but the proof of chastisement. It says in verse 8, whereof all are partakers. He said, if you're one of mine, I am going to deal with you. Flip that over. It means if you are mine, you can count on it. And by the way, it proves that you're mine. It proves that we're saved. Hallelujah. Because he deals, he disciplines his children. And if you're in the corner, it's because he put you there. He's your father. It's a proof. Being put in the corner, being chastened to the Lord, proves that we're saved. I'm one of his youngins. Not only proves that we're saved, but it also proves that we're special. It says in verse 6, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He ain't just mad. Now, he may be angry, but he moves his child to the corner and disciplines because he loves them. That's a special child sitting in the corner. That's the God who loves you, who deals with you and me. He is proving his love. I'm glad we've got a God who loves us that much. I tell you one thing, a permissive parent doesn't love their child. Don't tell me otherwise, because I know better. A permissive parent despises and hates their child because they're ruining them by letting them get away with what they do wrong. But your father loves you too much. And so it is with me. He loves us too much to let us go. We're special. He wants to give his best to every child. And when a child goes astray, he cannot give his best to them. I'm talking this morning about the proof of chastisement. It proves that we're saved, and it proves that we're special. It also proves that we're sinning. Now, I'll be honest. I have gotten some fights between me and teachers that I did not deserve. Now, most of them I did. The last time I almost got a whipping, I cried my way out of it. I do not rejoice in telling you that, but I'll tell you one thing, it worked. I cried my way and got sympathy from that man who already had the paddle in his hand. I deserved what he was going to do to me too. But there have been some things I have been accused of that I was not guilty of. My mama scraped and got a dinette set. I'm telling you, probably next to nothing, but to her, she had to get the money, she had to work, and she bought that dinette set and put it in our kitchen in Newbern, and my old brother took a magic marker and crawled up underneath there and wrote my name. I could not convince my mama I had not done it. The reason was because I'd done so many other bad things. And it took me growing up to be an adult to find out she had whipped the wrong one. But that ain't our God. If he's whipping us, it's because we deserve it. We've sinned. We've done something that angered him, against him, hurt him, dishonored him.
the proof of chastisement. The promise and the proof could mention quickly the purpose of chastisement. I'm talking about if you want to find God, it's not the best way, but it's a good way. Let him put you in the corner. You'll find out what God's like there. Don't recommend it. But when we do get put in the corner, when he does discipline us, we need to learn from him and learn about him. The proof, the purpose, he does it to protect us. I remember one of the little ones. I do not remember which one it was. I was sitting at the house, as it had been years ago, even the little boys, our boys, were little. And one of them was running toward the road down the driveway, and I hollered his name. He kept right on going. I got louder. He kept right on going. And then I screamed, and if I could have, I'd have grabbed him by the ears. They're just too far off. The last scream was abrupt. It sounded mean. It sounded violent. But I did it for his protection. If I could have, I'd have grabbed him up, yanked him. May have hurt him, disturbed him, scared him, upset him. And I wouldn't have cared because I was protecting him. It'd be better for me to scream and holler. It'd be better for me to yank him by the ears. It'd be better for me to hurt him than let him go in the direction he was going and really get hurt. And that's why your God and my God disciplines us. That's why he sends us at the corner. He's protecting us. We're going away. We're going down the road and it's going to hurt us. Ask the prodigal. Ask the prodigal. He heard the father's voice on the way to the far country and didn't listen. Ask Jonah. He'd gone his own way. Ask them both. Well, would you do the same thing again? Do you think God was mad? Do you think God was abrupt? Do you think he was too mean? And both of them would say, he hurt me. But he did it because he wanted to protect me. The purpose of chastisement is to protect, to keep us from getting to something worse than we're in right now. He is saying, stop now. Turn around now. Don't go further. There's a pig pen. There's a well. I do not relish the thought of being in the whale's belly. But I'd rather be in the whale's belly than in the storm, in the sea. God's protecting. He is protecting us because he knows the direction we're going is heading toward more heartache and more misery and more tears and more weeping. So he says, stop, 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 stop. Sometimes it's abrupt. The purpose is to protect. The purpose is to punish. You know what a parent realizes? They realize I must hurt that child sufficiently to when they're tempted the next time to do the same thing, they'll remember it hurts too much. I don't want to do it again. That's what punishment is. That's what discipline is. Little old pat on the wrist. A trip to the police station for a couple hours and getting released. They're right back out doing the same thing. He chases us to hurt us because he knows his hurt is protected and controlled. And if we ever get turned loose, I'm telling you, if we ever get turned loose to go our way, it ain't going to be pretty. It'll hurt. It'll cost. He doesn't want that. He loves us. There's a purpose. Let me hurry. talking this morning about if you want to find God, go to the corner. You'll find him there. I don't suggest that, but I'm saying if we find ourselves there, we better do what he said. Don't despise it. Don't take it in little regard. Learn from it. Find God there. Number four, the process of chastisement, the promise and the proof and the purpose and the process. How does he discipline us? What's his steps? I'm so glad God never does more than what's absolutely necessary. Another personal illustration, worst whipping I ever got was because my mama was more scared than mad. It's when I went to my friend's house, Tommy, during Sunday school, and we went down to his grandmother's, and when my mama came to pick me up, I wasn't where I was supposed to be. She drove all the way home. I wasn't there. She came all the way back to the church. I wasn't there. She was more scared than mad. She's pretty mad, though. I was a little boy. So I was excused. And I was standing outside Tommy's house wondering where my mama was, standing there in the driveway crying. And the preacher and his wife rode by and saw me, picked me up, and was taking me home. And I saw my mama's car coming down the road, heading back to the church again, looking for me. And I don't know which it was, more scared or glad to see my mama. She got me in that car, and I'm telling you what, she wore me out. And I still believe she went a little too far. But not my God. It'll hurt, and it'll cost you. And sometimes you feel like it's cost so much, and it does, it does, it does. But he will not take one step further, one more ounce of effort than what's necessary, because he loves us that much. The purpose, and now the process. What does he do? First, he speaks. In verse 5, faint not when thou art rebuked of him. He will say in our heart, you know that's wrong. Just a still small voice. Just a voice. But that voice is God. And that voice needed to be heeded, but sometimes we don't. So if he speaks and we don't listen, I'm talking about the process. How does he do that? He speaks, then he stops. I mean by that, he cuts off the blessings. The joy is gone. The peace is gone. The power is gone. The presence is gone. The desire for him is gone. The interest in spiritual things is gone. He speaks and then he stops. And then if we still don't listen, he spanks. He spanks. Verse 6 says, he scourgeth. The word literally means to flog. It is the same word that's used where it says they scourge the Lord before the crucifixion. Now, I'm not saying God gets violent. I'm not saying that God gets out of control. I'm not saying that at all, but I am saying his whip hurts. He spanks. He believes in it, the process. And then number 5, the price of chastisement. We don't want to play games with God because it costs too much when we do. Brother Mike said it not long ago, most miserable person on earth is not the person out there lost and in sin. The most miserable person on earth is the one who knows God but has walked away from his will. Miserable. There's a price to be paid, and it's a high price to be paid. I said again, ask our brother Jonah and ask the prodigal, ask them how their trip was. Guarantee you, neither one of them and anybody else in the Bible, they wouldn't recommend we go that way. They would say this morning, the price is too high, it costs too much. And I tell you one thing, when we finally are waking up to the fact of where we're at, after we have wept, after we've made the trip to the hospital, after we leave the funeral home, after we leave the guidance counselor's office at school, after we leave that place where God has put us in the corner, we'll realize how high the price is. Then I'll close with this. The prophet, the promise of proof, the purpose, the process, the price, the prophet says in verse 10, talks about earthly parents compared to the heavenly parent. And he says, sometimes they do it, just to be honest, because they want to. But he says in verse 10, for our profit. Every time we've ever been taken to the corner by our good God, it's been for our benefit, our profit. He's not trying to hurt and harm. He's trying to help. And I tell you one thing, when you get restored, when you get things right, oh my goodness, and the joy comes back and you give glory to God for what He's done. Whew. But always, 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 there'll be that in your mind and mine. I wish you hadn't gone. I wish you hadn't done it. It says, do not despise. It has the idea of spurning, of taking lightly, of not taking seriously. I ask every one of us, this message applies. I am not suggesting this morning that I think a lot of us went out and got drunk last night, but I want to ask everyone, I want you to listen to me now. Where are you in the process of being rustled to the corner? That speaking place where He's told you, you know that is wrong. And you explaining it away like, well, that's just the way I am. That doesn't hold water with me, says our Father. In the speaking process of speaking to our hearts, that's not right. Need to stop. Need to change. Maybe some have moved on past the speaking place of the process. And there may be somebody here this morning, you're at the stopping. Your joy's gone. Your desire, to be honest, you made yourself come this morning. Made yourself. You didn't get up this morning thinking, oh boy, it's church time. Oh, good. God's already, He's turned the blessing off. He's already stopping the flow. You can come to church, people smile, testify, wave their hand. You don't sense it, you don't feel it. He's already stopped. There may be somebody here this morning, you've already progressed to the spanking. He's already doing things that you know is His hand. It's His hand. And it is already hurting. Oh, I'm telling you, God says, don't despise that. Don't take that lightly. Don't act like He's not dealing with us. And the whole reason for it all is, I love you. I love you. We can find God in the corner. Stand together.